Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Nun Dalet. We are Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We are beginning this morning with the words Amar Rav Amram. It's about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. A continuation now in the third parak of Baba Basra, Cheska Sabbat, and we're talking about making a kinyan through a chazakah. But as you remember now, it's a very long parak, 30 blot of Gemara. The majority of the parak has been dealing with cheskes kemoshanim, where you occupy land and you've been there for 3 years and you have a tiny, you have an explanation in terms of why you were there and how you acquired the land. And there was no machan, there was no protest, and therefore you're going to acquire the land. What happened in the course of yesterday's daf and 2 days ago, really, Nun Beis Amud Beis, is that the Perek made a pivot, and now we're talking about chazakas in terms of a proprietary act creating the kinyan. And as a proprietary act, so the Brisa told us on the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis, that na'al geder uparas, that if you were to either lock the door, now we discussed that in the Rashbam yesterday, doesn't mean lock the door, according to the Rashbam, what it means is to put a lock on the door, or to... Let's just leave it at that. To put a lock on the door, or a gador, or if you put a fence around, you actually build a fence, or parats, or if you make an opening so that people can go in and out. So that is a proprietary act, and that's going to create a kinyan, and that will effectively make a kinyan. Now, you could do that from one person to another, meaning that if one person is selling another to another person property, so you could do any one of these means. Again, there has to be obviously be an agreement between the two parties that there's going to be a sale, and obviously there has to be a stipulation of how much the land is going to go for. But once all the everything is hammered out, so in terms of the actual kinyan itself, the kinyan is going to be created through a chazakah, through a proprietary act. We also spoke about at length yesterday the idea that this is a way of acquiring property from somebody else. It's also acquiring a way of acquiring property from Hefker. If nobody owns the property, let's say, for example, Nichse Hager, so where he doesn't have any krovim once he dies, and so therefore the property doesn't belong to anybody, and therefore if you do one of these proprietary acts, the land is going to belong to you. Okay. All this is what we stated over the course of yesterday. And we're continuing this discussion today. And I'm Rav Dimi. I'm sorry. We did that one. So, okay. Yeah, I'm Rav Amram. Okay, so continuing now right where we left off yesterday. So we start off with a statement by Rav Amram. Hi, Milsa. Amalan Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes taught us something. Ve'anharinu einan me'mastisan. And we were enlightened, literally, our eyes were lightened by a Mishnah. Okay, also a little bit of an irony over here. Rav Sheshes was one of the blind Amoraim. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef. So the expression over here could be used, B'lashon Sagi Nahor. But either way, Hamatzia Matzos B'Nichzei Hager. So let's say it's Nichzei Hager. Again, he died. And now the land belongs to nobody. It's Hefker. And now you want to make a kinyan. So Hamatzia Matzos. So you're laying down mats on the land itself, on the property itself, that is considered a good kinyan. Now, why should that be considered a good kinyan? So we run right to the Rashbam, and the Rashbam writes, "V'shachav shem al karka b'nechzei ager kana." So you put mats down, and you lie down on top of it. So that's going to work. V'afagav delo haynu nal gadol parats. Now, it's not one of the three that we mentioned in yesterday's daf, that I mentioned in the beginning of this morning's shiur. It's not locking the door. It's not making a fence. It's not opening it. So you didn't do anything to the actual land. Shalo tikin shum tikin bekarka ela. Shenena gufo min akarka. But you got hana min aguf. You actually got physical benefit from the property itself. Sheshamsha so akarka avichazaka. That is considered a chazaka as well. As long as you are benefiting from the property, that's considered a chazaka. Venir beinai. Demahachi afina denafka lan karka. And as far as I'm concerned, says the Rashbam, I think it's also based on the following. The pasuk says, "Veshavu barechem asher tafastim." You're going to live in the cities that you were tofes, that you literally took. Ba'met tafastim be'yeshiva. And in other words, the way the Rashbam is understanding the pasuk is that veshavu is the mechanism in which you're going to actually create the tfisa, or in our discussion, a chazaka, just by sitting. Literally sitting. Again, another pasuk speaking to this idea that just by merely sitting in it, you're going to occupy it. You could be sitting on the property, you could be lying down on the property. That is Rashbam's understanding of how our Gemara works. So as long as the land is serving you, so then that is going to be considered a kinyan. Now, he promises that he's gonna see this also in a Mishnah. Mishnah or a Braisa. So the Gemara now wants to know. Vanirinu einam mimasisa mahi. Okay, good. Now we're on to step two. Where do we see this idea in the Mishnah? So the Gemara quotes the following Braisa, Ketza bechazaka. How are we going to do so bechazaka? Meaning, this is taking us back to Kedushin, and the Gemara over there goes on to discuss how exactly Kinyan Chazaka works. So, we're talking about a Kinyan Chazaka, not on property, but rather on a Evikanani. Evikanani, you want to acquire an Evikanani. Now remember, an Evikanani has the same halachic status as Karka, in that the way to acquire an Evikanani is through Kesef Shtar Chazaka. Kesef's easy, you pay money. Shtar is also easy, you write a document. Chazaka, what is that? In other words, we're talking about a human being. So how do you do a kinyan chazak on your evikanani? So, if you were to tie your shoes there, or if you were to untie your shoes, so that's tashmish, meaning now he's serving you. And since he's serving you, so now that's a kinyan chazaka. Osho lechelav acharav lebeis amerchatzor. So let's say you're going to the bathhouse, and he's going to accompany you, and he's going to carry your clothing to the bathhouse. Or if he were to help you get undressed, to bathe you, to spread oil on you, literally, right, scrape your skin, right, or if he were to dress you, put shoes on you, seems to be a little bit repetitive, we already had that in the beginning, but vihigbil, or he were to lift you up, kano, in all these cases, you are kona. And again, the idea is that once he serves you, once he does an act of service towards you, so that is now considered a chazaka, and therefore you're going to be kona. Now, there's more to the brisa, and we're going to continue on the brisa, but basically we've hit the point already. Meaning the point of bringing in this brisa is this idea is that once it serves you, now the it could be the evikanani that we're mentioning in the Gemara Kedushin, or the it could be the land that we're talking about over here in the Gemara Baba Basra. In either event, if it serves you, so you have made a kinyan. So the evikanani, we've just gone through a number of examples of what that is in terms of the land. So once you're lying down on the land, so the land is serving you, and therefore you're going to be kona. Okay, so the point has been made, but we still have a little bit more to go in the Braisa. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Back to the Gemara, back to the Braisa. Lo te chazaka gedola mehagba. Shagba kona b'chol makom. So chazaka should not be any greater than hagbah. Hagbah, we know, is one of the ways in which you make a kinyan, and therefore hagbah is going to be kona b'chol makom. Now, my ka'amar. As long as we quoted the Braisa, I mean, we basically already made the point, but as long as we quoted the Braisa and we quoted the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, what is Rabbi Shimon saying? Hachi kamar. So the Gemara goes on to explain, this is Rabbi Shimon's point. Higbil la rabo kano. Higbil rabo lo kano. So, here's the Tanakama's viewpoint. Tanakama says that if the Evikarani were to lift you up, so that is an act of service. Meaning, whatever, you need to reach something, and the Evikanani picked you up, and or even if you, whatever. In other words, by him picking you up, so he's serving you. And again, an act of service creates a kinyan. That's a kinyan chazaka. But if you pick up the Evikanani, so you haven't acquired him. Now, let's understand this a little bit better. We know that in general, hagba is a means of kinyan. Now, that's true, but that's true when it comes to metaltalin, when it comes to movable items. So if I want to acquire something of yours and I do a hagbah, so I'm going to acquire it, but that's the metaltalin. And evikanani does not have the halachic status of metaltalin. And evikanani is karka. So therefore, lifting him up is not going to be considered a kinyan. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. And I'm Rabbi Shimon, lo te chazaka gedola me'agbah, shagbah kona b'chol makom. And on that, Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, no. Look, hagbah is a very strong act of kinyan. It works b'chol makom, or works under nearly every circumstance. It works, as the Rashbam points out, it works in the Rishus HaRabim, it works in the Simta, it works in public locations where other mechanisms of kinyan do not necessarily work. And so you see that Hagbah is so strong, it's so powerful, so even though it's an Evikanani, and yes, even though an Evikanani has Karka status, but Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that Hagbah should work also with the Evikanani as well. Meaning that if you lift him up, the Evikanani up, so you're going to be kind of the Evikanani. Okay, so that's the end, huh?
You say karka, there's no way to do it.
Correct. In defense of the Tanakhama, that's what the Tanakhama would say.
Right.
That the Evikanani has a halachic status of karka, and karka does not work through Agba.
And Rav Shimon would say if you could lift karka, if you could, then it would be.
I guess something like that. Could be. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu. We're in the very bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and we're continuing. And a good part of today's daf, which we already started, I mean, the theme that is, and that is, how do you make a king in Chazaka? Now, again, let's be clear. Like I said at the beginning of this year today, we're not talking about Cheskes Gemal Shanim, we're talking about a proprietary act. And more specifically, not only just talking about a proprietary act, but specifically about acquiring a land that doesn't belong to anyone. It's at this point in time, it's Hefker, it doesn't belong to anybody. It belonged to a Ger, he died. It's now Hefker, and what kind of proprietary act is it? So, as we already pointed out, so what you need is now get the uparats. You could do one of those things, and that'll work. Or, as we just learned together, as long as you're getting hanami gofakarka, some benefit from the actual land itself, that will work as well. Continuing in the Gemara, Ravir Meabiram Rav Yehuda Haiman, Dishada Lifta Beipili Daara Deger. So here's what I do. I take a turnip and I throw it into a crack in the ground. The ground once belonged to a ger. He died. It's now ownerless, and I'm trying to do a proprietary act. So here's what I do. I take a turnip and I throw it into the crack of the ground. As the Rashbam points out over here, I do not touch the ground whatsoever. But there's a gaping hole in the ground and I throw a turnip in. And what's going to happen is that the turnip is going to take root and the turnip is going to grow. So that is not considered a chazaka. Now, first I'll read the Gemara, then we'll read the Rashbam. Gemara. My time I be eating the shad lo havi shivcha, because when you're throwing it into the ground, that is not a immediate improvement to the ground. And hash de kashavach mimel kashavach. And yes, it's true, the turnip is going to take root and the turnip is going to grow, but that's mimela. That is happening on its own. Obviously, it's caused by you, but that's not direct, that's indirect. And therefore, that's mimela, and therefore you have not acquired it. Okay. So, the Gemara says that throwing a turnip into the ground is not considered a king in Chazaka. An important Rashbam over here, which is on the top of the Amud, the Rashbam writes, Shad lifta beipil shezara lefesh besoch nikaim shel karka hager velo kisaf velo saklum ki im zrikas lefesh besoch hachrit. So as I advertise, the Rashbam says you did not manipulate the ground at all. Lo hav yechazak asher v'lo asa shum tikum bekarka v'ashlach hazera bekarka eino maisa. Throwing something into the ground is not a maisa, not an action vis-a-vis the ground. Elim kein zarei avacharkach mechaseu. If you plant and then you cover earth on top of the seed, that's a manipulation. That's a maisa. V'af apisha gadol alaf v'nishrosh bekarka ayom lamachar mimeluhu dekashavach. And even though, yes, eventually it's going to grow, but that's on its own. If you're plowing the ground, that's an immediate improvement on the ground itself. If you irrigate the field, again, that's an immediate improvement on the ground. But over here, you didn't do anything to the ground proper. Now, achilas alefes nami eno chazaka. What about eating the turnip? The Rashbam says that's also not a proprietary act. The achilas peres eno kona. Velo havia chazaka liknos. Eating the fruit of a field is not a kinyan. Now the Rashbam realizes, you know, we have spent now over 20 blot of Gemara discussing eating the fruit, eating the fruit, eating the fruit. But again, let's separate the two parts of the perek. What we've been discussing previously was Cheskes Gemal Shanim. What we're talking about now is a proprietary act of the land itself. And the Rashbam is going to make this point very clear. I'm continuing in the Rashbam. V'lo avi chazak liknos shari eno kitos aperos v'lo b'achilasam shum tikon b'karka. By eating the fruit, you're not doing any improvement to the ground proper. She'e dom l'nal gadol parts, because again, here, proprietary act has to fall under some category of na'al gadol parts. V'gam lo latziyah matzos b'nechzei ger da'asin kimetani gufa min hakarka. Or laying down mats and lying down on the ground, you're benefiting from the land proper. U'kimishtam sh'alei karka ke'eved. The land is serving you like the eved is serving you, like we just learned a moment ago. The Rav. V'achinami, I mean, l'kam em b'shmaita, v'ayar echilas peres, den emechzei chaver, kana le'in yechazkas, shalashanim li'os echilas peres, shalashanim omdim ha'makam shtar. Now, yes, it's true, by eating the fruit, you are going to acquire a property by eating fruit for 3 consecutive years, but that's not what we're talking about over here. Uvid nechzei ger lo kana, klamar, l'gabe liknos karka, miyad kidin karka, shenikneis, because there's shavach chazaka, then I'll get her, lo havi chazaka. We are now in the second half of the parak, we're talking about a proprietary act, and eating fruit is not a proprietary act vis-a-vis creating an immediate kinyan. Okay, extraordinarily important point, a very good way of illustrating the difference between cheskas kemal shanim versus a cheskas kinyan.
Can't you equate that to a person laying on a mat on the ground?
Because
he's same thing is with the vegetable that he puts in the ground.
Yeah, in other words,
vegetable is laying on the
ground. I could hear an argument that eating fruit is benefiting from the land. But benefiting from the land has to be, in terms of a kinyan, benefiting directly from the land. A tree, fruit on the tree growing from the land, that's not direct.
That's okay. Well, again, if the guy was there, the owner was there.
Right, in other words, right.
Eating the food, because otherwise he would
L'chora, we can make L'chora, we can make another distinction between, you know, where it's from no owner right. Versus when you're purchasing it from an owner. Okay, we can make that distinction. All right, back to the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Okay, we're going to have now more of this kind of discussion. Four statements in a row by Shmuel regarding what is and what isn't going to be considered a kinyan. Amar Shmuel, Haiman de Pashach Dikla, Adaita de Dikla Kani. So you're pruning a tree. If you're pruning a tree for the improvement and the betterment of the tree, so that's a kinyan. But if you're just pruning because you want the wood, so you're not going to be kona. Taking the wood is like taking the fruit. And as we just pointed out a moment ago, taking the fruit is not going to be a kinyan. So too, if you're just taking the wood, it's not going to be a kinyan. Now, the Gemara says, now how do I know what his intent is? So the Gemara says, the way he prunes is going to be indicative. If you're pruning on both sides of the tree, it's for the purpose of the tree. Kula mechad gisa, adaita dechiyusa. But if I'm only pruning one half, one side of the tree, I'm not there to really improve the tree. I'm there just to take the twigs, and therefore, it's going to be it's not going to be kinyan chazaka. Okay, another extraordinarily important Rashbam that we're going to look at together right now. Adaita dechiyusa. I'm going to skip a little bit in the Rashbam. I'm going to go down a little bit, and the Rashbam is really bothered by a very simple question. If I prune one side of the tree, so my intention is not for the improvement of the tree, but isn't the tree improved? Meaning I prune the branches. So the tree is going to be improved. And again, improvement of the tree is tantamount to improvement of the ground, and therefore that should be a kinyan, right? Now the Gemara says it's not. So but why not? Meaning, I understand that if I throw the turnip into the ground, and yes, it will grow, but that's mimela. Here, it's more than mimela. I'm physically pruning the tree. So what difference does it make whether I'm pruning one side or two sides? So the Rashbam over here goes on to explain, in the Rashbam Divrei HaMashchal, Adaita Dechiyusa, V'chi Kamar Miskavin Ani. I'm reading the first really wide line of the Rashbam. V'chi Kamar Miskavin Ani Liktas B'chitza Zio HaRehi Kemisha Olech B'shug V'omer Rotsa Ani La'achzik B'sade Ploni Dibidibar B'lo Maisa Lohav Yechazaka. Meaning, if you're not pruning the tree correctly, so then it's really tantamount to Dibor, it's just talk, and it's like being in the market and saying, yes, I'm going to buy it, but Dibor by itself doesn't create a Chazaka. Ditarte Be'ina, the Rashbam writes, that in order to create a kinyan chazaka, I really need two criteria. One, shiyas hatikun bekarka biyadayim, uva oso hatikun ye miskaven l'shem tikun kedei lahachzik. So one, I need an action that will benefit the ground, and two, I need the intent that the act that I'm doing is going to benefit the ground. So I need action and a kavana behind the action. And if the action speaks to the idea that I don't have the proper kavana, so then I don't have the kavana, and therefore the action by itself is not going to be enough. Okay. Next. Back to the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, we're up to this.
We say that because if it's going to improve the tree, Mimela, he's saying, all I have to do is make a proprietary act.
Right.
He did it.
Right.
So
why
not assume that,
right.
That he's going to have to do a whole
thing? I hear you, but the Rashbam is... First of all, the Rashbam is getting it from the Gemara. The Gemara is saying there's a difference. The Rashbam is explaining why there's a difference. So he's introducing us to this idea.
The way he explains it, I can say, why should I work so
hard? I hear you.
I can do it in a minute.
Right, but he's introducing us to this idea that you need kavana.
You have people
in Israel
cutting down the branches.
I don't want to work the whole thing.
Okay, fine.
I'm pulling the tree anyway.
Okay. All right, I hear you. Okay, number two. Second statement to Shmuel, Va'amar Shmuel, Haiman, Zichya. So, a person is clearing the field. So why is he clearing the field? So if he's clearing the field because he wants to clear the field, meaning for the purpose of the property itself, great, that's a kinyan. If you're doing it just simply because you want the twigs, so then that's not going to be a kinyan. Hey chidami, now again, how will the action speak to the kavana shakal, rava vevizutre, if he's taking all the twigs in the field, the big ones and the small ones, adaita dare. Clearly he's interested in clearing the field, which is going to be a kinyan chazak on the field. Shakal rava vevishavik zutre adaita tzive. However, if you're only taking the big twigs, but the big branches, but you're leaving the small ones out still out in the field, clearly it's not for the improvement of the land, it's because you want twigs and therefore you're not going to be kona. Number three, v'amr shmul. Hai mandi itgal tikla. A person is trying to level the field, meaning that there are a bunch of ditches and mounds in the field, and he's leveling the field. So, if he's interested in doing so in order to improve the field and making a nice, level, smooth field, so then he's going to be kona. But let's say it's the beidari. Beidari right now is that he wants storage space on the property. And he's only now leveling the field just so that he can temporarily, and I'm emphasizing the word temporary, he's temporarily using this area for storage, so then he's not going to be kona. Hey, chidami. So the Gemara says again, what telltale sign is there going to be in the action that speaks to whether or not he's doing so for the land, or he's doing so just for a little bit of storage space? Let's say he does the following. He takes the mounds of earth that are on the land, and he uses those mounds to fill in the holes on the land. So he's clearly making a nice level land, so then, obviously, he's doing so for the improvement of the property, and therefore he's going to be kona. However, but let's say with the mounds, he doesn't actually remove the mound, but he kind of just pats it down. And in terms of the ditches, he doesn't fill in the ditch, but he kind of tries to level off the ditch a little bit. But he's not taking the mound and filling in the ditches with the mounds, so then he's just doing so for a temporary clearing, and therefore he's not going to be kona.
Is this all an ownerless land?
Yeah. In other words, let's assume, right. Let's assume that throughout this entire discussion, it's nechzegir. Now, the Rashbam, I turn to the Rashbam again, and the Rashbam in the Dibra Maskel de Beidare, so he's talking about what I'm trying to do. If not for the land, it's for a clearing area. Now, the Rashbam goes on to write, start from the beginning. The land is principally meant to be plowed and planted. And over here, I'm just making a clearing for a little bit of storage. And then what happens is that if I use it just for a temporary storage area, and then I remove it, I haven't really improved the land. And that's really just the destruction of the land. It's not considered a takana. Now the Rashbam continues. It's not similar to Na'al Gadav Arafak Beport of Ashkas Mayim. Shekhold Varmalalo Ain Sof Lasasram Eva Lasasran. When I'm building a fence, when I'm making an opening, when I am plowing, when I'm irrigating, these are all land improvements, and therefore are going to create a kinyan chazaka. Ava, goren zesof lo kalkol lo sasro. But if I'm just making a temporary goren, so it's just it's a short time granary, so then it's not for the purposes of improving the land. Deikar da'ar lecharisha kaimi, because the fundamental nature of a land is that it's meant to be plowed, it's meant to be planted. Aval. But the Rashbam goes on a limb and says the following. Im ratzal asor sham goren kavur. Let's say you want to make a permanent goren over here. Kavur la'olam. Nire be'inai dekani. I think the Rashbam says under those circumstances you are going to be kona. De'ein l'cha chazaka gedola mizu. Because if you're now converting this land to a full-time granary, so then that's for sure a proprietary act, and then you're going to be kona. So the Rashbam says that he believes that the Argamara is only going to balk at the clearing area only if it's a temporary granary, but not if you are converting it for a full-time granary. We are now up to the fourth statement of Shmuel, V'amr Shmuel, right in the middle of Nandal Amid Aleph. Ha'iman de pasach maya ba'ara adayta dara, kani adayta de kavir lo kana. Let's say you allow water to pass through a field. Again, the field is ownerless, and you want to do a proprietary act. And now you're running water through the field. If your purpose is for the land, so then you're going to be kona. If the purpose is for the fish, so then you're not going to be kona. What fish are we talking about? Basically, the water that you're passing through is like lake water or canal water, and there's a lot of fish over there. And so basically what you're going to do is that you're going to have water run through the field and have the fish, you know, dry up on it, and then you'll let the water pass through, and basically you're going to be catching fish. And if that's the reason why you're allowing the water to pass through, so then you're not going to be kona hechidami. And one more time, we're going to try to try to amplify how do we know that the person is either irrigating the field or getting at the fish. So pasach tre bavichad ma'al v'chad mafik adaita dekavre. If there's an intake and the outtake of the water, so the water is coming in, but the water is also draining, so clearly all you want is the fish. However, but if there's only an intake where you're allowing the water to go into the field, but the water is going to stay in the field, so then you're interested in irrigating the field, and therefore you're going to be kona. Okay. Hahi isasam. So far this morning, we've gone through a number of ways of defining exactly what a kinyan chazaka is in terms of nechse hager, when you're going to be acquiring a field and you're doing a proprietary act. The basic rule is that you have to do something which is an immediate improvement on the land itself. And how that manifests itself, so we've given now 5 different examples, permutations of what is considered a manipulation in the field versus what is just simply self-serving for you, but not really an improvement on the field and therefore not going to be a chazaka.
Benefit.
Right, or right, as we learned in the beginning. Right, correct. Hi, Issa Sadachla Dikla. There was a woman who was eating a palm tree off a land, and she was doing so for the last 13 years. That's a long time. And then Asau Rafik Tuse Porta. And then a person comes and he plows a little bit underneath the tree. And they go in front of Levi, and now they ask Levi the question, who in fact is the owner of the land? Now she obviously believes that she has a very strong case, that she has been there now for the last 13 years and enjoying the fruit of that field for the last 13 years. The fruit of that tree for the last 13 years. And along comes this guy and he starts plowing underneath, and so she doesn't think he has much of a case. So they take the matter in front of Levi, Vamila Kamid Mar Ukva, or some have a version that it was Mar Ukva who was presiding over the case in either event. Ukme Biyadeh. He was awarded the land, not her. Now she's screaming because she did not think that that would be the outcome of the case. So he says to her, well, what did you want from me? You did not do a chazaka the way people are normally doing a chazaka. Meaning, like we said earlier this morning, that yes, that's correct.
Only from one side,
Right? So that's correct. She ate the fruit. So, but she ate the fruit only only from one side. Like we said earlier this morning. Therefore, she didn't do a proprietary act. Therefore, she didn't acquire the land. And okay, and she did not see this ruling coming. Amar Rav Hatzar Tzura B'Nichse Agir Kana. Rav's of the opinion that if you draw pictures in Nichse Agir, so that's going to be Kona. Derav Lo Kana Leginisa Debe Rav. In other words, Rav acquired a garden right adjacent to either the house of Rav or the yeshiva of Rav, Ela B'Tzurasa, but just by drawing pictures. Drawing pictures on houses creates a kinyan. That is correct. The Rashbam writes over here, Nichse Agir, because lehabayis, meaning it was a house, and you drew pictures on the house. Now, if you remember the end of yesterday's daf, we just had it at the very end of yesterday's daf, and the Rashbam also notes that as well. Because lehabayis of aseder of asir v'kir de amar leel. If you were to plaster, so we said above, meaning yesterday's daf nun gemamid beis ama keneged pesach. So we said, yeah, it has to be an area where I am plastering a square amen, has to be directly adjacent to the door, so that when you walk in, you notice it. Lavein etzuras birya elatzurim ba'ama ma'isa tzatzuim uprachim avatzuras chaya o'ov. I'm sorry. In terms of plastering, that's just simply decorative plastering. So there it has to be an ama by an ama. Avat suras chaya o'ov. But in terms of making pictures of animals or birds, chashuva, that obviously is more artistic, and therefore dai be'echad, so you only need to make one significant artistic painting on the wall of the house, and you have acquired it. V'lo be'inan ama v'lo k'neged ha'pesach. It doesn't have to be an ama, it doesn't have to be k'neged ha'pesach. So in other words, the picture is going to be a painting of an animal is going to be more significant than what we closed with yesterday's daf with plastering or putting some sort of decorative plastering around the house. Okay, you're allowed to draw pictures of animals. The Rashbam over here says it without even balking. I mean, the Rashbam over here had no issue with it. In fact, not only not an issue, but tells us that that's the way to acquire. It's by drawing pictures of animals. So you're allowed to draw pictures of animals. So there is a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Nandalin. It's easy to remember. Today's Daf is Nandalin and Baba Basra. The Gemara in Yuma on Daf Nandalin. Tosas over there, very long Tosas. Starts on one side on the Amud Aleph and it goes well into the Amud Beis. Tosas over there discusses, you know, the machzorim that we have, meaning not you and I, but the machzorim that we have, Tosas says, it's got all these illustrations and pictures, and Tosfos wonders, is that okay? Is that not okay? So the first thing he writes over there, it's great. First thing he writes over there is, well, I'm not so much in favor of it because it's very distracting. Meaning you're trying to daven, you're trying to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're going to be looking at the pictures, and it's going to be very distracting. This is funny, you know, the benches, which are really popular, which I really like, you know, the ones that from Eretz Yisrael, which have the, you know, the pictures of Eretz Yisrael. So, yeah, I really like the bencher. So, Tosfos, you know, in his first comment over there, I'm not sure if he'd be so crazy about these benchers, meaning, you know, the pictures are beautiful and they're distracting. So, anyway, but then Tosfos over there launches into a lengthy discussion of whether or not you're allowed to draw pictures of animals and creatures. Is that a form of making an avodah zarah? So, Tosfos is over there for a very lengthy discussion of that issue. Right now, the only comment I have for now is that the Rashbam over here writes it as if it's no problem whatsoever. Okay. Itmar. We're in the Gemara Nundal Amud Aleph. We are four lines on the bottom of the Amud and continuing in the discussion. If let's say you have a field where the borders of the field are clearly drawn up. So Rav says, so that you only need to plow one area of the field and you acquire it in the entire field. Meaning a proprietary act just simply means that you have to do something to a section of the land. But it's clear, however, where the land begins, where it lands, the borders are clearly demarcated, and therefore you acquire the entire land with that singular act that you do on the land. Now Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says that you're only going to be acquiring only the portion of the land itself, but no other part of the land. The Gemara continues this discussion. We're on the top of Nandalam and Beis. But in the event where the borders are not clearly drawn out, so ad kama. So now what do you have to do in order to acquire? Now the Rashbam over here points out, really the discussion is within the shita of Rav. Meaning, Rav told us that when the borders are clearly drawn up, and as long as you do a segment of the land, so then you're going to be acquiring the entire land. So over here, if the borders are not clearly drawn out, so what do you do according to Rav? Amar Rav Papa ked azal tire deshura vahadar. So basically, you go down a row with the animal, with the ox, and you go back, and that's going to be enough in order to create a kinyan. Going back and forth with the ox, meaning, the Rashbam points out over here, second Rashbam on the Amud, kishiyach roshem et bakar shura achas mikatze gvul asada ve'ad katzeu ve'hadar. So you're going to go with the ox from one end of the field to the other end of the field. So yaseh od shura acheres. Dahainu shtei shuros al pnei kol asada misfaso el sfaso mitzvah lamarav mitoch kach kana kol asada gam in itself on the darun dekevin decharis shtei shuros al pnei kol orech asada o al kol rachvo ki ilu charis kulo. So here you just have to go from end to end of the field two times, and that creates a kinyan because the borders are not clearly outlined by you hitting one end and the other. And the Rashbam over here says it doesn't matter whether you go the horizontal, whether you go the vertical, as long as you're going from one end to another two times, so that's going to create a kinyan over the entire field. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara, following halacha, very interesting halacha coming up. That if you have the possessions of a non-Jew, we're no longer talking about nechse hager, we're talking about property that's owned by a non-Jew. So they are like a desert. So anyone who does the chazaka is going to acquire them. Now, you must learn the Rashbam over here. Without the Rashbam, the Gemara is very difficult to understand. It certainly does not mean that a non-Jew does not own land. That's because a non-Jew does own land. So, what does the Gemara mean over here? So, you have to see the Rashbam. I'm reading the Rashbam. I'll start with the Rashbam. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Shmuel Nichse Alvikocham, Shemachram Alvikocham Lisrael, Shekibel Alvikocham, Madami Memen, Vadain Lohichzik Ba, Yisrael Zeakona Asam. So the Rashbam points out over here, we're talking about an extraordinarily specific scenario. It goes like this. The non-Jew owned the land, you bought the land from him. So the first thing you did is you handed the money, but you have not done yet a proprietary act. Okay. So right now we are... Just wait one second. So right now we are after the money has been given, but before you've done a proprietary act. So now, as will be explained in just a moment, we are now in a limbo state vis-a-vis who owns the land. That's what the Gemara is describing when the Gemara says, "Hare hein kemidbar." Now the land is going to be like a desert. Let's go right to the next Rashbam. He writes, "Hare hein kemidbar, hefker." At this point in time, the land is hefker. Why? Right now, the land is going to be no different than that of Nechzeh Hager. Now, why? The why is coming up in the Gemara in just a moment. Okay, so. Yeah. So now, the first person paid for the land, a second person comes in, and during this limbo period where the land is ownerless, meaning it's after you've given the non-Jew money, and before you did a proprietary act, in that interim period, the land now is hefker, and somebody can come along and take it. So there really are two issues to discuss. One is a monetary issue, and two is the ethical issue. And the Rashbam is going to be discussing both of these points. First, the monetary issue. In other words, the first person actually shelled out money. Is he entitled to reimbursement? So the Rashbam writes, V'yesh mefarshin demaos mi'ayach v'lokeach rishon v'li ein nir klal dimkein mai harein kemidbar. So some say, says the Rashbam, that the first person is of course going to receive a reimbursement, but the Rashbam says, but I don't see that, because the Gemara uses the expression harein kemidbar. Ela zachem em legamri v'im yachol lokeach rishon ladonim avakocham la'atzim imenu ma'usav yaseh v'im lav yafsid. As far as the first person who shelled out the money, so his recourse is going to be against a non-Jew. If he can somehow get his money back, fine. But if not, it's going to be a tough break for him. Okay, so as far as the monetary issue, the Rashbam deliberates and debates whether or not the first person is going to get reimbursement for the money that he laid out. The second issue is the ethical issue, and the Rashbam says here, there's no equivocation. The second person is unethical. The second person should not come and take the land, meaning with the understanding that the first person obviously wants to buy the land, and he already put out the money for that land. Clearly, nobody should come in and intercept that land. The Rashbam writes, the second person is a bad person. He's a Rasha. In our context, I guess the best way to describe it is, he's unethical. Remember, says the Rashbam, what we learned back in the second parak of Kiddushin. And that is, third parak of Kiddushin. Okay, I was one behind. Okay, third parak of Kiddushin. Where there the Gemara described a scenario in which I have a poor person, he sees a cake on the floor, he's about to pick it up and someone comes along and snatches it. Knowing full well that the Ani set his eyes on that cake. So the Gemara over there says a strong reprimand to the second person. He is considered a Rasha. Now, not to question the validity of his kinyan. He made a kinyan. The Ani has not made a kinyan. But still, nevertheless, he's a Rasha, knowing that he intercepted something that somebody else was looking at. This is a sugya over there of Ani Amahapech Becharara. So the Rashbam says the same thing is going to be true over here, and we can easily make the jump from the Gemara in Kedushin to our Gemara over here. Clearly the person is interested in the land. In fact, he paid for it. There's a clear indication that that's true. Okay, there's more to the Rashbam over here. We're going to go back to the Gemara. Why is this land such a simple question? Why is this land in a limbo state between the giving of the money and when he did a Maisa Chazaka? So the Gemara is going to explain. My time. We have the fourth line on the Gemara. My time over Kochava Mechimatu Zuzili Adei Istalik Lei. Because as far as the non-Jew is concerned, the moment that he received the land, the non-Jew says, okay, I'm out. Meaning, he is just interested in the money. He got his money. So he's done. He's removed his bailus from that land. However, Yisrael lokani adamati shtar liyadei, but as far as the Jew is concerned, so he's only going to acquire the land once the shtar gets into his hands. Hilka charei hein kemidbar, v'cholamachti b'em zacha b'hem. And because this is this interim period, so therefore anyone who comes in during this interim period is going to be zocha. Okay, let's understand this a little bit better. Why is it the case that just because the non-Jew gets his money, that's it? He removes himself, and the Jew is not going to make an acquisition himself until the shtar? So once again, I turn back to the Rashbam. And the Rashbam, Dibra Maskel Stalakle. Ha'ovi kocham sherei kol kinyano sholovi kochavim bekesef. So the Rashbam again goes back to the Gemara in Kedushin and reminds us what we learned back in Kedushin, and that is when it comes to a non-Jew, his entire kinyan is money. Done. Period. Kidamina beperkama dikdushan umashikabala mafligabi diday havi mechira gamura. So once he gets the money, that's it. He's done. I'm out. I've sold my land. However, Shayni Cholam Odlachzor Zebazer, Visolo Kani Bemata Maus Adasi Starli Ade Kidamina Bikidushin. Ugadabrisha Sael. And remember, says the Rashbam, as we explained earlier, when it comes to the Jew, in terms of when he's ready to acquire, he's waiting for the contract. Remember we said a day ago in the Daf, that when contracts are typically drawn up, even after you're given the money, the kinyan is not going to be finalized until you get your contract. When a Jew acquires land from another Jew, so the acquisition is only going to be finalized with the drawing up of the document. And when a Jew is buying from a non-Jew, for sure you're waiting for the contract to be drawn up. Why? Because the Jew does not have enough confidence that he is the actual buyer until the shtar is drawn up. Because prior to that point in time, he has a very tenuous grasp on the property. And that means now that after the money was given, but before he got his shtar, so now the land is in a limbo state. The non-Jew has removed himself from that land as the owner. The Jew has not yet assumed ownership because he's waiting for his shtar. And now it's during this interim period that somebody can come in and take it. Again, going back to the Rashbam that we learned earlier, he's a Rasha for that second person. It's unethical, but there is an opportunity.
Is this true by Metaltel?
I don't know. In other words, let's right now let's keep it right now to land. I'm not sure if these same properties, pun intended, if these same properties are going to be true by movables.
Someone would say that the land is acquired by kesef in chazaka. That's only from
the Gemara in Kedushin says that kesef only when kesef is only when there was no shtar that's normally written up. But the Gemara in Kedushin says, we went over this Gemara, that if a shtar is normally written up, so even the kesef does not create a kinyan by itself. Okay.
Rabbi, and if this was a Jew transaction, would it be the same issue?
No, because the Jew does not remove himself from the property until the shtar is written up.
Well, but kesef is good enough.
Because the way a non-Jew acquires is only through kesef, meaning that's the only language of commerce that a non-Jew speaks. He only speaks money. So once he's given the money, then our Jew is like, okay, that's it, I'm done.
But if a Jew did it with kesef,
no, right, because that's not our language of commerce. It is our language, but in other words, it's not the finalization. Finalization is accomplished through shtar. Okay. Back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Hilka charein kemidbar v'chol machzik b'hem zachabem." Amar lei abai le Rav Yosef. Mi amar Shmuel achi. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, "I have a hard time understanding this." V'amar Shmuel, but doesn't Shmuel said the following? Shmuel says this a number of times in Shas. We've seen this most recently back in the end of Baba Kama. Dina de machus adina. We know the law of the land is applicable. We have to follow the law of the land. The Rashi over here writes, "Dina de machusa dina kol masim va'arnunios min hagoshal mishpatei malachim shirigil lahanik b'machusam dinahu." It's all binding. Taxes, different various types of taxes, customs, country customs, they're all binding. And therefore, we have to follow them. Everyone accepts the laws of the land. And so what bothers the Gemara now is that we know the Shmuel holds of the principle of Dina de Machusa Dina, and why should that be a problem over here? Back to the Gemara. The Gemara goes on to explain, Umaka Amar Lo Likne Ara Ela Bi Igrisa. And the king says, do you know how the sale is going to be finalized? It's going to be finalized with documentation. So I don't understand how Shmuel can say that there's this vacuum that's created where once the money's given, the non-Jew removes himself, and you are not acquiring until you get documentation. It happens to be that the law of the land is that sales are not finalized, sales of property are not finalized until the igrisa is written up, until the letter is written up, the document is written up. So how could there be this vacuum? So Amalei Analia Dana, we're going to add a word over here. Ella Uvda Hava Bedur Darosa. So he says, look, I don't know how to explain everything, but I do know the following incident that happened in some sort of shepherd community where Be Yisrael Dezavan Ara Me'ovikochavim, a Jew purchased land from a non Jew, Vasi Yisrael Achrina, Rafik Beporta, Asa Kamadur of Yehuda, Kumabiyade Desheni. And here's what happened. So a Jew bought a land from a non Jew, he gave him the money, and then before the contract was written up, another Jew swooped in, took advantage of the vacuum opportunity, and did a chazaka, proprietary act of the land, and Rav Yehuda awarded the second person the land. Now, so, look, I don't know what to tell you. Meaning, I understand the question about Dina de Machusa Dina is an excellent question, but I'm telling you, I saw Rav Yehuda award the land to the second person. So, Amar Le Dur Derosa Kamart, so his response to him is, you know what? That example that you gave me is such a poor example. Because Bage Mimtere Have. Because that in that particular case, that was talking about a field which was literally a hidden field. What does that mean, it was a hidden field? The Rashbam explains. The Rashbam is all the way on the bottom of the Amud, four lines from the bottom. Sados Tmunim Shalo Hayu Balam Nosim as a mas lamelech ela mavrichin atzman. Somehow, the owners of that land were trying so desperately hard to not pay taxes on that land. Now, land is a hard thing to hide, I'm going to admit. I don't know how they were able to evade taxes on a piece of property, but somehow they did. And okay, they didn't register it. Okay, however they did so. Right. So Havu de Inu Gufailo Havayave Taskala Malka, they were not paying taxes on that land. Umalka Amar, and here's the rule, which is Mandiyav Taskalechal Ara, the one who pays the taxes, he's the one who's able to enjoy the land. And as the Rashman points out, on the very bottom, it's the last Rashman on the Amud. Balam Rishonam Lahavu Yavi Taska. Umidina de Machusa Lahayabiyadam. The Balam Koach Limkor. So umichram batel. So you see, because the owners of the land never paid the taxes on the land, so they're therefore not the owners. And if they're not the owners, that of course means they have no right to sell it. And any sale that they did obviously would by definition be a voided sale. Now the one who did a proprietary act, you know how he acquired it? It's because there was no owner. Nobody was paying taxes. And his proprietary act basically committed him to paying the taxes. Yes, I'm doing a proprietary act with the understanding and stipulation that I'm going to pay the taxes. And the king said that whoever paid taxes is going to be the de facto owner. But if it's a regular sale, so then no. The non-Jew is selling it to a Jew. The law of the land dictates that the sale is not finalized until a contract is drawn up. And there's not going to be this limbo period of after the money was given, but before proprietary before the shtar was written up, because Dina de Malchusa dictates that there's no such vacuum period, there's no such limbo period. Let's quickly recap what we saw today. We finished the Gemaras regarding a proprietary act to create a kinyan. We went through five different scenarios in the Gemara of what is considered a proprietary act and what is not considered a proprietary act. And to summarize, it has to be a land improvement or the land itself serving you. Eating fruit is not a proprietary act vis-a-vis an immediate kinyan. We talked about drawing pictures on the house in order to acquire the land. The Gemara says you can. An interesting Rashman that we went through this morning. What if the land has clear borders and you work a little bit of the land? According to Rav, which is the halacha, you're acquiring the entire land. What if the land does not have borders? So we talked about having to plow twice from end to end. And finally, we concluded today with a comment by... comment by Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel that there can be a limbo period in the time of acquisition between the giving of the money to the non-Jew and the writing up of the document. Although the Gemara started off that there is a limbo period, the Gemara concluded not necessarily. Dina de Machusa, Dina stipulates that if the law of the land says that the acquisition is not finalized until the contract, so that means there's no limbo period. There was an incident where Rav Yehuda did award the land to a second person who swooped in, but that was different because the current owners of the land did not own it. They were not paying the taxes on the land, and so that was why that case may be different. Adkan.